Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. I said from the very beginning, let's be prayerful, careful, and faithful. Let's continue to do that. Matthew 18, verse 21. I was thinking about a title for this message, and I told the 9:15 service, I said I had a title, but it was too long. I was going to call the title of this message, this may be the hardest message you've ever heard. I'm not going to call it that, don't worry. I've found a much simpler title. Let's go. Matthew 18, verse 21. If you're joining us online, hopefully you've got your Bibles. It'll be on the screen as well. Then came Peter to him, that is Jesus. Peter comes to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Who could do mathematics? Yeah? What's 70 times seven? Come on. I think you got it right down there. 490. 490. No one else knew. You guys ever listened in school or anything? You should pay attention, you know. Maybe you've been using your calculator too much. Jesus said 490 times. I don't really believe that he was giving a definite number. He just said, because the man asked seven times, he said, well, 70 times seven. In other words, just keep forgiving. Until 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king. So Jesus goes to tell a parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take accounts of his servants. So he got the accounts of his servants. And when he'd begun to reckon, one was brought to him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, I did a bit of a Google to find out how much a talent's worth. It's worth about 30,000 Australian dollars. That's quite a bit, $300,000. But this man owed him 10,000 talents. So even more than that, sorry. For as much as he had not to pay, he didn't have any money to pay this bill. The Lord commanded him to be sold. Sell him. Sell his wife. Sell his kids. If he can't pay the debt, sell him. Sell all he has so the payment can be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay it all back. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and he loosed him, and he forgave him the debt. He forgave him that massive debt, 10,000 talents. He forgave him the debt. Then the forgiven man, everyone say the forgiven man. The same servant went out and found one of his servants, his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, nothing. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, and he said, pay me what you owe me. This is the guy that's been forgiven 10,000 talents. He's got the throat of another guy saying, pay me my 100 pence. His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he could pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very, very sorry. And they came unto their Lord. They came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you asked me. I forgave you. Shouldn't you also have compassion on your fellow servant, just like I had pity on you? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So Jesus told this parable. So likewise, just like that parable, Jesus said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one of his brothers their trespasses. What will happen to us if we can't forgive? Delivered to the tormentors till we can pay. We have to forgive. And Jesus said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses. I was going to call it, this may be the hardest message you'll ever hear. But instead, I'm just going to call it forgiveness. Everybody say forgiveness. Forgiveness. Let's just prepare our hearts for what God wants to speak to us right now. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, here we stand again in your house, in this place. Lord, help our hearts to be submitted to what you would speak to us. Help our ears to hear what you're going to say to us, and help our hearts be ready to receive, Lord God, your word. Help us to not just hear, but help us to do, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. Forgiveness. Everybody say forgiveness. When you've done that, you can sit down. We've been on both sides of forgiveness, both sides. We've all been in a situation where we've needed to be forgiven. Anyone ever been in a situation where you've needed to be forgiven, done something wrong? Yeah? And we've also been on the other side where we've needed to forgive. You see, forgiveness is central to human relationships. It is such an important thing. It is central to human relationships, and forgiveness is central. It is integral to our walk with God. Brother David in our worship service already mentioned about the kingdom of God. We've been doing a series called Thy Kingdom Come. And in this world, there are two competing kingdoms in this universe. Two competing kingdoms. The kingdom of this world, the leader of which is Satan, and the kingdom of God. Two competing kingdoms in this universe. The kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. And Jesus made it very clear in John 18, verse 36, when he came. He said, my kingdom, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom that I have come to set up in this earth is nothing like the kingdom of this world. And so there is contrast. The kingdom of God contrast the kingdom of this world. And it's not just a simple contrast between evil and good, but it is a contrast between two fundamentally different ways of doing life. If you are a Christian, if you are in the kingdom of God, the life you live will be completely different to somebody that's living in the kingdom of this world. Can I get an amen? And so, there's a contrast of mindsets, belief systems, lifestyles, completely different, different kingdoms. Two kingdoms contrasted in this world, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. And so when you what you hear preached from this pulpit, when we preach the word of God, we're preaching the ways of the kingdom of God, the words of the king, the words of the king. And where the words of the king are, there is power. And so in this world, when it comes to changing behavior, they call it behavior modification. They may call change turning over a new leaf. That's the kingdom of this world. But in the kingdom of God, we don't talk about behavior modification. We don't talk about turning over a new leaf or making a few changes. No, in the kingdom of God, it is about being born again. Everybody say born again. And I praise God, we've got some people that are going to be born again today as they go into the waters of baptism. You see, this world is about behavior modification, but through Jesus Christ, we can be born again, not just turning over a new leaf, but a completely new beginning, born into a new kingdom, born into a new lifestyle, new habits, new ways of living, new mindsets, a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is different to the kingdom of this world. In this world, you fight for position. You climb over other people. You tread other people down so you can become greater. But in the kingdom of God, Mark 9 verse 35 says, you become great by being a servant of all. That's the way of the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of this world, you fight to get your life. You fight for your things. You want material things. But in the kingdom of God, if you lose your life for Jesus' sake, you find it. But in this world, in the kingdom of God, if you find your life and you lose it. And so in the kingdom of God, the losers are the keepers. The keepers are the losers. In the kingdom of God, Jesus is for losers. He said, except you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. The way of the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of this world, you increase by hoarding. You increase by keeping. But in the kingdom of God, you increase by giving. You increase by giving. You scatter, you sow. The kingdom of this world is a tit-for-tat kingdom. You did that to me, I'll get you back. I'll do it to you. And if I can't do it to you now, you just wait, because the opportunity will come and I'll get my revenge. You see, the kingdom of the world is a tit for tat, an eye for an eye sort of world. But the kingdom of God is not about revenge. It's not about hatred. The kingdom of God is about forgiveness. Everybody say forgiveness. Forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness means to release a person from a debt. Not just a financial debt, but some sort of debt or some sort of obligation that has been incurred against you. But to release that person. It is a choice. Everyone say a choice. It's a choice. Forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is a choice. To release a person from a wrong that has been committed against you. Now, many people struggle with forgiveness because they don't completely understand it. And the Bible says, if you shall know the truth will set you free. And so one of my responsibilities today is to tell you the truth about forgiveness. Because a lot of people won't forgive because they don't understand forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you're excusing the behavior of the person that hurt you. No. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you're going to just have to pretend that it didn't hurt. No, it hurt. It hurt real. It was tough. When you forgive, you don't have to say, oh, well, I'm all good now. No, you don't have to pretend that it didn't hurt. Forgiveness is not trying to repress it. It's a very real thing. You see, forgiveness is releasing that person by choice. It's not linked to any emotion or anything like that. You can do it by choice when you release them from that obligation, from that debt incurred to you because of the wrong that they did against you. Forgiveness. Here's another reason why people struggle with forgiveness. It's because they think forgiveness means reconciliation. And they're like, this person hurt me terribly. And I'm not just talking about the type of hurt where they didn't give you a Christmas present or they didn't look at you the right way. Now, there are people that have very real deep hurts going back years. And so some people think, well, if I forgive them, I just can't see myself having Christmas lunch with them next year. I can't see myself going on holidays with them. How can I be buddy old pal with that person after they hurt me? And the reality is, forgiveness does not necessarily mean reconciliation. It doesn't mean you could go back to living in each other's pocket again. It doesn't mean reconciliation. And yes, let me say, we should strive for reconciliation. We should strive to be reconciled. But even if reconciliation doesn't happen, forgiveness can still happen. And so you can even forgive somebody who has passed away from this world. You can forgive someone who you may never, ever see again, and you don't even know where they are. You can forgive them because forgiveness may lead to reconciliation, but forgiveness is not reconciliation. One may lead to the other, but one is not the other. And so a lot of people say, I can't forgive because I can't see us going on holidays again. I can't see just having coffee with them again. Forgiveness may lead to reconciliation, but forgiveness is not reconciliation. Forgiveness is different to trust as well. Forgiveness and trust are two different things. Forgiveness can happen like this. Trust is earned. As I said this morning, I was talking illustration. So if I went to your house, Brother Godfrey, and you invited me over for a cup of tea, and we sat at the table, and I looked down at the table, and there was a $50 note there. So I said, Brother Godfrey, would you mind if I have some sugar for my cup of tea? And as he went to get the sugar in the kitchen, I took the $50 note, put it in my pocket. Brother Godfrey comes back and we're drinking the tea. He notices the $50 is gone. Anyway, I go home. I got the $50 in my pocket. I'm happy. I'm going to go buy myself some steak or something like that. Brother Godfrey's thinking, oh my goodness, I can't believe the pastor stole my $50. Eventually, Sister Susan says, Godfrey, you need to call the pastor. Tell him. So Brother Godfrey rings me up. Pastor, did you steal the $50 from the table? Yes, Brother Godfrey. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. All right. Brother Godfrey says, I forgive you. Give me the 50 back. It's back. All right, good. Then he's forgiven me. We're reconciled again. All happy to see each other. And so he thinks, you know what? I'll invite the pastor over again. And so I go back again for coffee this time. I ask him to go and get me some sugar and I take the 50 again. He rings me up. He goes, "Did you take the 50? I say, "Yes, Brother Godfrey, please forgive me." He says, "I forgive you." In the back of his mind, he said, "But you aren't coming for coffee again." He forgave me. It doesn't necessarily mean that we were reconciled, and it didn't mean that he would trust me again. And so a lot of people can't forgive because they don't completely understand what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness doesn't always mean reconciliation. Forgiveness and trust are two different things. Nevertheless, forgiveness is very, very important. Everyone say important. We can't ignore it. It's mentioned twice in the Lord's Prayer. The cross is about forgiveness. It's central to human relationships. Forgiveness is central to salvation. There is freedom when we forgive. And so, one of the greatest misunderstandings of forgiveness is that it's simply overlooking the sin. Let me tell you, when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't overlook our sin. He didn't say, "I can't see it, I can't hear it, I don't know about it, I just forgotten it." He didn't overlook our sin. He died. He paid the price for our sin. We owed a debt that we could not pay. Yes? We owed a debt that we could not pay. He didn't just hide the debt. He didn't just overlook the debt. He died and paid the price for us. And so a lot of people think forgiveness is just overlooking the debt. No, where there is forgiveness, there has to be a payment made. And sometimes when you forgive, that means you take the debt on yourself and you pay it yourself. I've told this story before. Told it in 9:15, and so if they're watching, they got to hear it again. But I talked about a black BMW in the first service. I talk about a red Lamborghini now, all right? So somebody, somehow, I don't know, I got a red Lamborghini. And I used to love driving around in my red Lamborghini. Had low-profile tires. This is not a true story, by the way. I drive a 13-year-old Nissan X-Trail. All right, so it's got low-profile tires. It's got a big spoiler on the back. When I accelerate, it goes... Anyone ever heard those cars that do that? They're like those turbos, yeah? Makes big, loud noise. Got a big stereo system in it, you know. Just cruising around, you know, my red Lamborghini. Everyone was looking at me. Oh, wow. Drive down the street, all the boys walking home from school, they're like... I felt so good in my red Lamborghini. Life was good in the red Lamborghini. And one day, I was coming to church in my red Lamborghini. I was parked at the lights down on Melrose Drive, and I was sitting there loving life and loving my red Lamborghini. Went bang! Right into the back of my red Lamborghini. Couldn't believe it. I looked in the back, in the revision mirror of the car after being jolted forward. I had a sore neck. I looked in the revision mirror of the car, and it was the dirtiest, ugliest car you've ever seen. It was like a 1960s Datsun, red. I looked in the window. All I could see was white hairs, a little old lady sitting in there. I got out of the car. I'm looking at the back of the car. Can't believe it. I'm fuming. I mean, what about my red Lamborghini? I look over at the little old missionary lady. She comes out. She goes, "I'm so sorry, son." I'm like... She tells me that she's a retired missionary. She has no money, no insurance. What am I going to do about my smashed up red Lamborghini? Well, I got two choices. I can continue to drive around in the smashed up red Lamborghini, hoping that somehow she's going to be able to fix it for me, hoping that she will pay the debt to fix my car. And so if I chose that, I'm driving around. Before, everyone was looking at me. Life was good. It was cool. I had a nice car. It was flash, shiny, loud, all those things. But now it's all smashed up. Now I'm driving around in shame. Life's not fun anymore. Because I'm driving around in a smashed up Lamborghini. Why am I driving around in a smashed up Lamborghini? Because I'm waiting for that person to pay the debt. That was the first option I've got. The second option is, I say to the missionary lady, Forget it. Don't worry. I forgive you. I'll get it fixed myself. I will pay the debt. You see, when there is an offense, it creates a debt, an obligation. And forgiveness means you can't do anything about it. I'll do it myself. And so I went and paid the price. The debt was even. Now I can move forward in my life. Now I've got freedom. I don't have to drive around in a smashed up Lamborghini. And so many people, and I know this is a heavy message today, but many people waste so many years of their life. Maybe you know somebody like that. Maybe you are somebody like that. But many people waste years of their life driving around in a smashed up car, waiting for somebody to pay a debt that they could never pay. Waiting for somebody who's even passed away to make things right. Waiting for someone to say sorry when they don't even know what they've done. Many people waste years of their life in bitterness, in resentment, in hatred. But I want to tell you, if they could only find a place in their heart to forgive that person, they could have been living those years with joy. They could have been living those years with freedom and the power of forgiveness. Church, I come to tell you today, there is freedom when we forgive somebody else. There is freedom in forgiveness. There is power in forgiveness. I'm not saying it's easy, but when we let it go, we can move forward. I get to go to farms every now and then, and there's one thing that you'll see on farms, especially cattle farms or sheep farms, is they use dogs for rounding up the cattle. They're worth a lot of money, those working dogs. But when you go to a farm, you'll see them, they'll be chained up to a kennel. They'll be chained up with a chain and hooked onto a little collar on the dog's neck. And that dog is chained up so it doesn't go too far. It can only go so far, and then the chain stops it from going any further. So that little dog's like, oh, that's as far as I can go. I'll try the other way. Because the chains, it's got a chain connected to its collar. It doesn't matter what it wants to do. It can only just go so far, and the chain just keeps jerking it back. And there are many people today, even Christians, I'm sorry to say, who have a spiritual collar around their neck, as it were. And the links of that chain are the links of anger and bitterness and revenge and resentment and hatred. And those links are all connected to a little collar around the neck called unforgiveness. And they've got unforgiveness in their life, and it seems like just whenever they want everything to go well, they're like, I just can't seem to get any further because of the unforgiveness. Sometimes it can be there for days, months, sometimes decades, sometimes a lifetime. But one thing is certain today, church, I want to tell you, you can be free from unforgiveness. You can be free from the chains of unforgiveness. I want to tell you that when you forgive, you can find freedom like no other. It no longer has to steal your joy. It no longer has to hold you back. Come on, church, I come to tell you today that there is freedom in forgiveness. Jesus forgave us. We ought to forgive others as well. Jesus told us in Luke 17, verse 1, he said, it is impossible to go through life without being offended. So you're either going to offend or you're going to be offended. It's impossible to go through life without some sort of offense. If I told you that it's 100% chance of football-sized hail, all right? If I told you that there's a definite 100% chance that we're going to get really, really big hailstones, what would you do? You'd go put your car undercover, wouldn't you? Because there's 100% chance. And so Jesus told us that you cannot go through life without being offended. So if that is the case, then we ought to get ready to know what to do when the offense comes. We've got to have a system. We've got to be ready to forgive. We've got to say, when I'm offended, what am I going to do? It's not about if it happens, it's about when it happens. And so Jesus said in Luke 17, verse 1, it is impossible to get through life without some sort of offense. So if it's a certainty, then we ought to be ready for when it comes. And here's the bottom line today. This is the bottom line. I'm going to tell you something, and then I'm going to give you a scripture. The bottom line is this. If you don't forgive others, God cannot forgive you. That's just the bottom line. I'm not making this up. This is out of the Bible. If you don't forgive others, God cannot forgive you. And so if God cannot forgive you, that means you have unforgiven sin. Yeah? And if you have unforgiven sin in your life, that makes you a sinner. And if you are a sinner, you have no place in heaven. Matthew chapter 6 verse 14 says this. And you can turn there in your Bibles, maybe underline it. It's important scripture. Luke 16 verse 14. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So if you forgive others, God will forgive you. All right? What about verse 15? But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if you forgive others, God can forgive you. If you refuse to forgive others, God cannot forgive you. And that is the most simple thing. One man once said it like this: unforgiveness is the unforgivable sin. Someone looked at me once and said, what? Unforgivable sin? The Bible tells us that if we have unforgiveness, we cannot be forgiven. And so, in light of Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15, unforgiveness is the unforgivable sin. And you know what? We can talk about all the works of the flesh. We can talk about adultery and fornication, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, all the works of the flesh in Galatians 5. We can talk about all of those sins in Galatians 5. But you know what? Unforgiveness is also a sin. And if we harbor unforgiveness, God cannot forgive us. Here's something that I want to address. And it has caused, this misunderstanding has caused a lot of problems in the church and around the world. It's this. If someone commits a crime, everyone say a crime. If someone commits a crime against my person or my property, should I forgive and forget and not involve the police? Now, we're going really deep today, all right? It's not the sort of stuff we always talk about in church. But if someone commits a crime against my person or my property, should I just forgive and forget and not tell the police or the authorities or whatever? You see, when we forgive somebody, it's a choice. We are releasing that offender, whatever they did, from the personal and emotional offense against us. I am releasing them. However, this is important, if a crime has been committed, while I have forgiven them, I have released them from the hurt they have caused me, they have also broken the law. And my forgiveness does not supersede the law of the land. And so while I forgive them and I release them from the emotional hurt or the personal hurt or the offense against me or the assault or whatever that criminal thing they did to me or my property, while I may forgive them, they still broke the law. And you can't go into court and say, judge, don't sentence them to jail. It's all right now. They say, well, that's all well and good. But they also offended the law. They also broke the law. They broke you, but they also broke the law. And just because you forgave them does not release them from the obligations that we have as a court. And so even when God has forgiven us, does the law forgive us? Can I go into jail and say, I broke into all these, I robbed all these banks, but don't worry, judge, God's forgiven me. You say, oh, well and good, but we haven't, and you must pay the price. There's been people that, even in church that I've known, that they came to the Lord, they were born again, God did a wonderful work in their life, and then 6 months later, there was an investigation going on, and their fingerprints came up at a site. And the police rang them up and said, well, we're sorry, but you got to go do some more time in jail. Just because God forgave them didn't release them from the obligations under the law of the land. If you want to know what I'm talking about, Romans 13 says, God puts authority in place. God puts authority in place. And the Bible explains that God's justice is revealed in two ways. Either the justice will come through the law of the land, and second, through the final judgment. And so God puts the authority in place. And so it is possible to forgive somebody and still allow the legal justice system to happen. We don't pursue them in the legal justice system out of hatred and revenge, no. We can forgive and still allow the legal justice system to take its place. Does everyone understand what I'm saying? Because some people would say, oh, we just forgive and forget. And that's why there has been so many problems with people. You see, we also have an obligation to protect other people as well. Everyone say, phew. That's a heavy one. But many people are hindered. Many people are hindered from their destiny that God has for their life because they have a collar on of unforgiveness. And whenever they try to go forward, it just keeps jerking them back. And I want to tell you today, you can be set free from whatever is holding you back. If you can find a place to forgive, you see, unforgiveness stops us from walking in God's destiny. Unforgiveness keeps holding us back. You see, God has a purpose for our life. And you know, God cannot give you your future in your hands if you're still holding on to your past. Everyone say amen. And so even if a person hasn't asked for forgiveness, Pastor, should I forgive them if they haven't even asked me for forgiveness? Should I forgive them? Yes, you should. Because forgiveness can happen. You can forgive somebody unilaterally. Everyone say unilaterally. You can forgive someone unilaterally. That means it's just forgiveness on your side. But forgiveness can be unilateral or it can be transactional, where there is agreement between the two. Even if a person hasn't asked for forgiveness, you can still forgive them. Either way, we must forgive. We read it. We must forgive. Why? Because God has forgiven us. The Bible says it so clearly that if you forgive others, God can forgive you. But if you refuse to extend forgiveness to other people, God cannot forgive you. There is freedom in forgiveness. Everyone say freedom. Do we have any Kenyans here today? We had 8 in the first service. So we got 1 Kenyan in the second service. Any more Kenyans here? Oh, there's 2, Shanice and Daisy. So 3 Kenyans. We had 8 in 9:15 service, 3 Kenyans. I'll tell you a story about Kenya. In 1963, on the 12th of December, Kenya received its independence. So we're celebrating Independence Day on the same day we're having the family picnic, all right? Kenyan Independence Day. And the Kenyan independence was preceded by years of violence between the Mau Mau independence fighters and the British colonial forces. The new president, Jomo Kenyatta, had been imprisoned by the British. And on that Independence Day, President Kenyatta addressed the new nation of Kenya. Kenya is now one of the best countries in Africa. They're a very successful country now. But he addressed that newborn nation of Kenya on the radio. And he spoke first to the British settlers when he spoke. He had been imprisoned. Now he's the new president. He spoke first to the British settlers. He remembered all the bad things that had happened over the years. And Kenyatta said this, "But I forgive you." And then he went one step further. And he remembered all the bad things that the Mau Mau and the independence fighters had done himself. He said, "I forgive you." And he says, "And please forgive us." And Jomo Kenyatta was the first Kenyan president of Kenya. And he knew that Kenya needed a new beginning. Kenya needed a new beginning. They needed a new start. And let me tell you, he gave them a new beginning. Why? Because a new beginning starts with forgiveness. It starts with forgiveness. And whoever you are today, I can tell you today, you can have a new beginning if you would just be willing to forgive. Does forgiveness mean that there was a reversal of the wounds? And no, there were still wounds. Terrible things still happen. Forgiveness doesn't change history, but it did give Kenya the ability to move forward. Forgiveness gives us the ability to move forward. And that's just what we need today. Maybe you're like that dog on the chain. You can only go so far because you've got the collar of unforgiveness on. You haven't been able to forgive other people and it's messing up your life. I want to tell you, if you need a new beginning today, you can have it through forgiveness. Jomo Kenyatta said this, "I suffered a prison and detention term, but that is all in the past and I'm not going to remember it. If I wronged you, forgive me. If you wronged me, I forgive you. let us forgive. Let us forgive. And you see, he realized that that forgiveness was going to stop their ability to move forward. That if that unforgiveness was being able to continue to fester in the nation of Kenya, they were never going to be able to go forward. You see, unforgiveness is an impurity. And impurities need to be dealt with. And it says in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Can we say those words together? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the Greek word, you see, the New Testament was written in Greek, and that word pure is the word katharos. Blessed are the katharos in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. And that word pure or katharos is used 27 times in the New Testament. And it means this. It means to be free from contaminating substances. Pure. And the word katharos is the word where we get the word catheter from. Everyone say catheter. Catheters are used to get impurities out. So if you had an operation in your chest cavity, and after they put your chest back together and sew you back up again, there's a chance that fluid could be building up. And so what they do is they put a drainage pipe straight through the middle of your ribs, a catheter, and they let all the impurities drain out. And so this scripture is telling us, blessed are the pure in heart. And Jesus told us that offenses are going to come. There is going to be offenses coming your way. People are going to offend you, but you've got to be able to keep a pure heart if you want to see God. And so to have a pure heart, you've got to be able to get those impurities out. You've got to have a catheter, as it were, in your heart to drain those toxic impurities. We've got to be able to forgive people. Otherwise, it makes our heart impure. As doctors will tell you, unforgiveness causes stress and depression and anxiety. It can cause all sorts of health complications. That's unforgiveness. Why did God bless Joseph above all others? Think about what happened to Joseph. Why did God bless Joseph above all of his brothers? Because he had a catheter in his heart. He was offended, but he was able to release it. He was able to get rid of it. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is not something that's common in the world today. The world says, they hurt me. I don't want to see them again. Young boys say, they hurt me. I want to fight them. Gangs say, they hurt us. We're going to kill them. That's the way of the world. And when we forgive as Christians, when we forgive others, we are showing the world the kingdom of God. When we forgive others, we are showing the world the kingdom of God. You see, Thomas, when he heard of the risen Savior, he said, how can I believe except I see the scars in his hands? How can I believe except I see the scars? Everyone say scars. It didn't say wounds. He said the scars. Scars are wounds that are healed up. Thomas represents the world. And the world, they look at Christians and they say, how can we believe unless we see something that's different to this world? How can we believe? Thomas said, how can I believe unless I see the scars? You see, the world, non-Christians are looking for the marks. The marks of the supernatural, the marks of a different kingdom. And we often try to prove God's presence in our life by our successes. We say, God is present in my life because of this great thing and that great thing. But Jesus, to Thomas, he proved his deity to Thomas by his scars, which are wounds that are healed up. Look, Thomas, look where they drove the spikes. Through my bones to hold me on the cross until I died. Thomas, look, they killed me, but I didn't stay dead. Look, Thomas, it broke me, but now I am whole. Look, Thomas, I once was dead, but now I'm alive. And when we are hurt, when we are wounded by other people in this world, the world looks at us and say, you have a right to have a vendetta. You have a right to hold revenge and regret and hatred towards them. You have a right. But when you say no, that's the way of the world. I've been wounded, yes, but I'm going to forgive. And when you do that, church, you've shown them, you've given them a glimpse of what the kingdom of God is all about. Yes, Jesus said, put your finger where my hurt was. Put your finger where my wound was. Yes, we've all been wounded. Yes, we've all been offended. And I want to tell you, if we forgive, we can show this world a different kingdom, a different way, the way of the cross, the way of Jesus Christ. When we forgive others, the world says, wow, that is the mark of something that I've never seen before. What wounded me doesn't have to hold me anymore. What wounded me doesn't have to hold me anymore. Forgiveness doesn't mean it didn't happen. No, there were wounds, but they had been healed. Now they're only scars. And when the world sees what happened, and when the world sees how we respond, the world will see something beyond the ways of this world, and we give them a glimpse of the kingdom of God. I want to tell you a story as I finish now, about a well-known Christian author and a well-known Christian minister. Her name is Corrie ten Boom. How many people have heard of Corrie ten Boom? Corrie ten Boom was arrested by the Nazis in the Second World War with the rest of her family because they were hiding Jews in their house during the Holocaust. She was imprisoned and eventually sent to a concentration camp called Ravensbrück. Ravensbrück concentration camp. And she stayed there with her beloved sister, Betsy. Betsy perished just days before Corrie was released on the 31st of December, 1944. Corrie ten Boom was inspired by Betsy. In spite of everything that happened in the concentration camp, Betsy was an example of selfless love. Betsy was an example of forgiveness. Even in spite of all the cruelty and persecution that she suffered at the hands of the Nazis. Corrie established a post-war home after she got out of the concentration camp. She started a house for people that were survivors trying to recover from all the horrors of the concentration camp. And she went on after establishing the house, Corrie ten Boom went on to travel widely as a missionary. And as she would travel throughout the world, in fact, my grandfather, my mum's foster father, has met with her. She visited his house in Dandenong. She traveled widely as a missionary, preaching about God's forgiveness and the need for reconciliation. And Corrie's devout moral principles, though, she had all these principles and all these morals. She was preaching forgiveness, but one day came the test. Everyone say the test. When she came face to face with one of her former tormentors in 1947. After speaking at a church in Germany, she walked off the podium and a man came to her. He said, Corrie, you mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk. I was a guard there. But since that time, I became a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for all the cruel things that I did. But Fraulein, Sister Corrie, I would like to hear it from your lips as well. And his hand stretched out, the hand of that Nazi guard, now a Christian. After she's preached a message about forgiveness, his hand stretched out. He said, Fraulein, will you forgive me? In her book, she writes, I stood there. I, whose sins had every day been forgiven. She said, I couldn't do it. My sister died in that place. What does this man think just by asking me to forgive that somehow it could erase the slow, terrible death of my sister Betsy just because he asked? She said, it wasn't very long. It couldn't have been many seconds that I stood there. He's standing there with his hand held out. But to me, it seemed like hours. As I wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do. And still I stood there with coldness clutching my heart. I didn't think I could do it. But then I remembered, as I preached to so many other people, forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is an act of the will. Everyone say the will. And the will of man can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. You can do something even if you don't feel like it. Corrie ten Boom prayed silently, Jesus, help me. Help me, Jesus. I need your help. This man is standing there with his hand stretched out. He said, Jesus, I can lift my hand. I can lift my hand. That's about as much as I can do. And she wrote this, and so woodingly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And she said, as I did, an incredible thing took place. It was like a current started in my shoulder. It raced down my arm. It sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being. She said, and tears began to well up in my eyes. She said, I forgive you, brother, with all of my heart. She said, for a long moment, we just grasped each other's hands. The former Nazi guard and the former prisoner. And she said, at that moment, I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Let me tell you, there is power in forgiveness. There is freedom in forgiveness. And you know, Jesus forgave us. He forgave us. He paid the price for our sins. He forgave us. He died on the cross for us. And you know, when we think about what He did for us and all the sin that He's forgiven us of, we ought to forgive others as well. You see, forgiveness is the gift that you give yourself. It's a choice. You might not even be feeling it. You're like, I don't know if I could even do this. I'm totally not feeling this. Let me tell you, forgiveness is the gift that you give yourself. Because, you know, so many of us, we got a chain around our neck, a collar of unforgiveness, and we think it's all right as long as we just stay here. But as soon as we try to move forward, it's like the collar yanks us back. Let me tell you, the chains can be broken if we can just forgive. It's not saying, well, you know what, I forgive and you were right to offend me. No, that's not forgiveness. We're not saying what they did was all right. We're not saying that I'm going to trust them again. Trust is earned. When we forgive, we're not saying go ahead and do it again. No. But when we forgive, we're saying I cannot afford to put this much energy into being angry and bitter anymore. I've got to move forward. I've got to forgive. And even though I don't feel like it, I'm making the choice to forgive. I want to tell you there's freedom in forgiveness. And President Kenyatta, he knew. He said, if there's going to be a new beginning, there's going to be a new start for the nation of Kenya. After everything that has happened, after all the atrocities, the Mau Mau against the British colonials, after everything, if there's going to be a new beginning, we're going to have to start with forgiveness. And maybe you're sitting here today and you've got unforgiveness in your heart. Maybe it's even towards somebody that's passed away. Maybe it's someone that you haven't even seen them again, but there's so much unforgiveness. Maybe it's someone that's very close to you. Could be your husband or your wife. Could be your brother or your sister. Could be a family member or something. But let me tell you, if there is unforgiveness, you're not going to be able to move forward. And God says, I want to put something new in your hands. But you know, the reality is He can't put anything new in our hands because our hands are full of the past. God is saying, come on, I want to bring you into your destiny. He says, but how can I do it when you're holding so strong to the past? There is power in forgiveness. And I know it's a different sort of message today, but I believe God is speaking to the church. God is speaking to our hearts. This is a Rhema word for somebody. You came here today and you said, God, speak to me. I need to hear from you. And God is speaking to your heart right now. Maybe you're joining us online and God is speaking to you about forgiveness. There is power when we forgive. There is freedom when we forgive. Let's all stand in this place right now. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask just the musicians to come and just sing, but right now is the sort of message where we just need to search our hearts. God, I want to be right with you. God, that I can forgive and release, to release those who have offended me, those that have wronged me, those that have hurt me, oh God. Lord, I've got to forgive. I can't live another day with this noose or this collar of unforgiveness around my neck anymore. I just can't do it anymore, God. Let me tell you, you can do it today. You can forgive today. You can forgive today. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Let's just lift our hands all across this place right now. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is speaking to somebody right now. Hallelujah. come on, you got to forgive. Before God can put the future in your hands, you got to forgive somebody today. You can release them. And it doesn't mean reconciliation yet. It doesn't mean trust yet. But you can release them now. It's a choice that you can make. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Oh, yes, 1,000 times I failed, but your mercy remains.